The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's up? I had a chance to chat with Mike Logan. Mike, amazing comedian, and he's hosting an event on June 17th, something free and fun for you to do. You're going to laugh, you're going to dance, you're going to drink, you're going to be outside, shaking your ass. It's going to be amazing. Here's Mike Logan to tell you all about it. Enjoy. Can you hear me okay?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes. Yes.
All right.
I like your hair. You're growing it out.
Yeah. You know, I'm doing the whole, hopefully by the time it gets the length of Jay-Z's, I'll also be a billionaire.
African-American hairstyles over the years are fantastic. Do you think one day the fade is going to come back?
You know, I don't know, just because of how many white guys have fades now. So I don't know if we'll ever bring them back, honestly.
Yeah, yeah. You remember like Bobby Brown, he would draw a part, he would cut a part in.
I used to do that. I had a fade for a while, like maybe 10 years ago, and then I would get steps in it. And so it'd be like this.
Okay, so now someone has to do that, yes? You can't do that, right?
I mean, I guess if I could probably Google how to do it, but they have like specific kind of clippers that do that, straight lines. Like they have clippers that they can draw with and stuff.
Well, so you know that there's been people in history who've tried to do it themselves and they ruin it. And then they have to go to school and everybody laughs at them. That would be the worst, you know?
My mom used to cut my hair and she was, I was adopted into a white family. And so she used to cut my hair with scissors and a comb. And like an afro, and like it was terrible. And kids made fun of me so hard in elementary until finally I had to tell her, I'm like, you can't let me go to school like this anymore. So like, there'd just be blotches missing everywhere and stuff. It would be really bad.
So is she trying to straighten your hair with the comb?
No, I don't know. I mean, kind of. So like you're supposed to pick a fro to cut it anyway, but like you're supposed to use like relaxer and like use an actual afro pick with metal prongs that are this long that can actually make it through your fro. I'm talking like the dollar store little combs, the ones that they give you to like a picture school, and then a pair of scissors from the drawer in the kitchen, and that's what she used to cut my hair with.
God, so that's a comb. It's a comb that says "Goody" on the side,
yep.
The kind that you like put in your back pocket or whatever. Holy shit.
I believe my mom used the term. She used to rat her hair with it. So,
oh my. Well, welcome in, Mike Logan. I'm glad you are here. You've got an event coming up that you want to talk about. And please take it away. Tell me what's going on, because I like it that you're making people laugh.
Oh, of course. Thanks, man. Well, it's called the Ice Cold Comedy Jam. It's happening this Friday at 7:30 p.m. at Cityville Brewing Company in the Welcome Tent on the Grand River. It's a comedy music hybrid show. We're going to have music from Chris Strappington, country music sensation. Le Creatif will be closing the show out with a 30-minute set. And then for the comedy portion, we're going to have Carl Sobel, who runs one of the best open mics in Grand Rapids, River City Saloon. We've got Rachel Struther, who was a runner-up in my most recent roast battle. She is pretty new to the scene, but very, very, very funny. And then closing the show, fresh off his non-headliner gig, opening for Monique and D.L. Hughley at the Fox, we've got Josh Adams coming to town.
That's incredible. That sounds like a fun event, man. Is this something that event organization is not easy? There's a lot that goes into it, which probably why I'm guessing you won't be performing, because of all the things you have to put together to make it happen.
I will actually be hosting the entire night.
Okay, good.
So I'll be there from the opening of the show. Maybe I'll sing a song. Who knows? all the way to the end of the show. I've gotten pretty good at production to where once it gets to showtime, the show is pretty good at running itself. So as long as all the moving parts work like they should and we get all our sound checks done, we should have a really fun time. And it's going to be like the weather's going to break for us. It's only going to be 80 that night. It's going to be on the river. You're going to have great beer from City Built. Downtown Grand Rapids Inc. also is a big contributor to this. It was originally conceived as part of the World of Winter Festival. And then, you know, ran into a bunch of speed bumps. So we had to like table it. And then now we finally brought it back. We waited just to make sure that people are out and ready to go do stuff again. And judging from the buzz that we've got and the response, people are ready for a show like this.
Yeah, I mean, to be able to handpick the talent that you just talked about is a credit to where we are. I mean, there's a lot going on here. I mean, you've got your hand in just about everything, and to be able to take those bodies and put them in there and deliver a quality night of entertainment for people in the community is spectacular.
Yeah, I really pride myself on actually going out and watching comedy. You'll find a lot of comedian bookers and comedy agencies rarely go to actual like open mics. You'll only see them at the comedy stores or like the Comedy Cellar or the Laugh Factories. But I mean, I like to go to every open mic in Grand Rapids because you find the Carl Sobels and the Rachel Struthers and the Michael Bustlers and, you know, all these other unnamed people that people don't know, but are genuinely just as funny, if not funnier, than anything you'll find on Netflix. And so I'm glad that I'm able to bring that to, you know, Grand Rapids, which is obviously this big, booming, growing city. And to be able to do it for free for as long as I've been doing it for free is another thing that I'm really proud of, because I feel like everybody deserves to see these kinds of talents, and the talents, you know, deserve to be seen by everybody and not just in a bar where you got to battle with 14 drunk people half the time.
I want to talk to you about writing comedy.
Okay.
When it comes to writing, the term writing doesn't necessarily mean writing and like writing actual words down. It could just be thoughts in your own head, right? Am I understanding that correctly?
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, every comedian writes in some form or the other. Some of them will write every single word. So if you go to a comedian's show and you see them talk for 30 minutes, majority of comedians have written every single word of that 30 minutes. All the stammers, pauses, everything that seems natural. Like, these are usually pretty tightly prepared after months and weeks of trying it out at open mics.
Yeah.
But then you also have other comedians, and examples of them would be like Big Jay Oakerson, for example, like who is all crowd work. So, I mean, yep. He goes out every single night. He's a completely different show, and he's very good at it. But, you know, he doesn't write things. He may have generic jokes that he can pull on every now and then, but most of his comedy just comes from the fact that he's naturally good at pulling funny out of situations. Me, I am kind of somewhere in the middle, where if I think of something funny, it's usually something that's happened to me or something I've observed while being out. So I'll just jot a note down, and the note will say, well, hold on, let's see. Let's take a look. Let's see what note I got right now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Here we go. So, wedding material. I went to a wedding, 2 weekends ago, and, a thought that I had was I like to watch the black servers, watch the old white people dance at weddings. And it's because like, the only time you actually get a chance to see white people really cut loose, no Kenny Loggins intended, is at a wedding, right? Like, it's the only time like white people are like totally free and they don't feel judged and they dance and nobody cares. It's dancing. We're supposed to dance. But
right.
Get these like 17-year-old black kid surfers and like, you know, Bruno Mars, 24-karat magic's on. Everybody goes to the dance floor and then
yes.
You get the black surfers who get caught off guard and they just go like this. They walk away. But like, you know, but like, that's not a joke that I would like write, you know what I mean? That's just something that I live, so I'm able to just pull. And I like to keep it that way because in the Big J style, I do like to let my show kind of go where it goes. Where somebody's talking to me, I don't have a problem interacting with them. I don't recommend anybody ever just do that to any comedians that
right.
You go see. Don't talk to the comedians. It's not cool.
Correct.
But I don't mind it. Don't do it to me, but I don't.
When you were talking about the scenario about the servers and the dancers, now that you wrote it down, you've yeah. practiced it, you just voiced it to me and it was executed appropriately. It's now there. Now mm-hmm. You might not like, I'm going to work this in, but at some point you might be with maybe an interaction with a crowd member or maybe something just pops into your head on stage. Now that it's there, it's forever there. It's never going to leave because you know what I mean? You've connected it, and you've added to your repertoire. And I think that's fantastic, because I've thought the same thing. Not that I'm a comedy writer, but I've thought, oh boy, something funny just popped into my brain. I'll bet you at some point I'll end up mentioning this on my show.
Yeah.
Months later, and then sure enough, it happens, yep, or it manifests, you know. And I think that's really cool. And I also think it's terrifying how when it comes to crowd work, which, like what you said, you kind of do, but not like in a Jay Oakerson way. Have you ever, like, I wrote in, I'm going to talk to the crowd, or is it when it just happens, you then organically play off of it?
Oh, I never want to talk to the crowd, okay, like, ever. Like, I don't go on stage. I'm a really good comedian. I don't want to go up there and, like, have a crowd member try to take over my set, because I trust the set. But if somebody does say something, I will never not address them. Like, I'm very, you know me for years now. Like, I've never had a problem,
right,
addressing somebody when I have a problem with them. So I'm also pretty good at keeping it light, though, because there's a thin line between, like, making everybody okay with what's happening and making people feel uncomfortable with what's happening.
Our bodies come in different shapes and sizes. So doesn't it make sense that our weight loss plans should too? That's the beauty of Noom. They build a personal plan that factors in dietary restrictions, medical issues, and other personal needs, so your plan works for you. Noom doesn't restrict or shame when you want to treat yourself. Their flexible program focuses on progress instead of perfection. You don't have to give up carbs or anything. And with their daily lessons, you can learn something new about your food choices every day. After just a few days of using the app, I learned how to recognize cues for overeating and how to choose the right foods to feel full. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
The future is a hefty responsibility, and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
So with Oakerson, though, I cannot imagine. I mean, he has probably done this so much with that type of interaction that though it might seem like he's doing it flying by the seat of his pants, he's probably had that interaction on some level to some degree in the past. So he knows exactly what he's supposed to say, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's definitely that, and a combination of just kind of actually being, you know, that quick-witted to be. Because, I mean, well, some of the smartest people I've met come up with things that are like that. And I'll just be like, oh, where's that from? Well, I just made it up. And it's like, oh, I mean, Big J is one of those guys where, like, you know, I've performed with him twice and had him try to steal one of my girlfriends once too, which was hilarious.
Right, right.
It was very casual. Jeez. He did it, so it kind of played it off.
Holy shit.
But, like, he is one of those guys who, like, even in regular conversation, he's that quick. So, like, there are some people who are just that good at it that can fly by the seat of their pants. But yeah, over the years, you do just have things in your back pocket and ready for, like, you know, somebody talks in the crowd and they're a nurse. Somebody's got, you know, 30 nurse jokes ready just in case a nurse says something.
Right.
So, I mean, that's just, you just keep building up over the years. And when you're doing a different show every night, you can use that joke the same time 5 nights in a week and nobody's going to know.
Where are you in terms of your career? Because, you know, comics talk about certain level of years grinding before it suddenly becomes a lot easier for them. Are you in it? Can you look at what you've done in comedy and kind of, like, put yourself into a timeline?
Oof. I will say this. I don't think, and I've met all my comedic idols. It doesn't ever get easier. It just gets different.
Okay.
I think that's something that a lot of newer comics need to understand. I didn't even understand when I was younger, is that when you're an entertainer, and you can speak to this too, when you're an entertainer, it doesn't ever really get easier if you plan on succeeding your whole career. Like, if your goal is to be the best at your job, you should be prepared for the fact that no matter how much money you get or how many albums you can sell or whatever, it's just going to get different, not easier. And I think once that's more of an acceptable way to teach comedy, I think you'll find less people being frustrated with how long it actually takes to be successful in comedy. Because it's a cross-country race and it's never a sprint. Like, there's very few comedians who have ever been overnight successes. Like, Bo Burnham is the only one I can ever think of off the top of my head that just went from obscurity to being Bo Burnham in 1 year. And everybody else, you know, grinded for a very long time.
They've been grinding.
Yes, they've been known to grind. And so I think once you get more of the realization that it's not a thing with a goalpost, that it's just a marathon, it becomes easier to cope with. Like, my job doesn't get easier when I start booking bigger shows. Like, my job was technically easier when I was just an open mic host. Now I've got, you know, I've got budgets that I got to deal with and artists from coming from all across like the Midwest. And like, there's like a lot of different hands in the pot now when I just want to put on a show, you know? And so I think that I would say in my career right now, I am right where I need to be. I'm kind of in a bit of a shift where I'm stepping away so much from constantly doing stand-up, and I'm leaning more into producing and finding out what that is for me. I've also got, you know, some secretive projects in the works that aren't comedy related that I'm working on, that are things that I've been passionate about since before I became a comedian. And now that I've, you know, established my voice, established myself here as a comedian, I feel the freedom to be able to branch off and do these other things, which is why you don't ever see me really classify myself as a comedian anymore. And I always say entertainer, because I'm like, you know, I'm an actor, I'm a voiceover artist, I'm a brand ambassador, and I'm a stand-up comedian, but I'm a human first. So, I mean, I got to figure out what I would like to do and what I want to do with my life first, and then make sure everything else falls in line. And right now, you know, it's comedy, but it's shifting into some other things. So I would say in my career, I am right where I need to be, but I didn't figure that out until a couple of months ago. So.
And you're having fun. You're enjoying yourself, right?
I am, for the most part. Yeah. I mean, I enjoy myself. Like, the night of the show, you know, is amazing. The day I come up with the show is amazing. Every day after is amazing.
Right.
The work that goes into it is work. Like, it's work. And sometimes it can be very stressful. But at the end of the day, I can't really complain about, you know, what I get to do with my life. Like, when I wake up, you know, I'm really in control, per se, of what I get to do. And right. At the end of the day, things that I do with my time are things that genuinely give good feelings to people. So I can't really feel bad. Like, so yeah, I guess, I'm having fun.
I'm glad. And you know, what's funny is I know you had fun today because you were with one of my crushes. That would be Terry DeBoer from Wood TV 8. Let's take a look. Let's see how you did. You ready?
Oh, are you sure? I haven't actually watched this yet.
can you hear it right now?
I can, yeah.
Okay, good. It's Wednesday, so we're starting the countdown. Look at her. To the weekend.
You know what is remarkable is she still looks like she's 32. I mean, seriously, what the hell?
You know, I will say this. I've done a lot of morning television. She was, without a doubt, the most professional, the most, like, we did a beautiful, like, pre-interview segment where she got to know me, which made the chemistry really good. She is really good at her job, like, really good.
Oh, my God. Yeah. And, you know, she can do just about anything, being that she's kind of like a jack of all trades type of personality on Wood TV 8. There's no question.
We have Mike Logan here to talk about the ice cold.
Look at him. Look at my man.
I have to tell you, you know, I wear two hats here. I'm an 8 West host. I'm part of Storm Team 8.
Look at those shoes, man.
Time that we have had. I knew they were going to be full body shots. Years, and we've got the ice cold man on our couch. It's perfect
timing. She calls you the ice cold man.
Yeah.
It really is a good time to just stay cool.
All right. I'm not gonna watch a whole thing, but I'll do
I
is
congratulations about your book.
I'll end up linking it up in the show notes of this. But she's awesome. Right. I'm glad you got to do all of that. Did you do anything else during the day?
I did, actually. I have to tell you, I was on JoJo Gerard this morning and he told me to tell you what's up.
How about that guy? He's about an underrated personality.
Mm-hmm.
And he's very, very funny. Long time on WSNX. He left town, went to Maryland, come here back to Grand Rapids. He's been on the air there at that radio station for years. And I think he needs a little bit more credit than what he's given, you know.
Well, when you're down the hall from free beer and hot wings, you know.
Did you like want to bang on their door too, or perhaps, or is it because it's a network show? Is it hard to get a hold of those guys?
You know what's interesting? So they were actually recording while I was there this morning. And I've never once, like, ever reached out to, about working with them, not for any particular reason. Like, I don't dislike them at all. Never done it. I never listened to their show, so I never even thought about it.
Right.
But as they're walking past, like, you know me, I'm a bit of a mischievous guy. As they're walking past, you know, the on-air light is on. I see them all talking. And then they all looked at me, and I, you know, I got my sunglasses on inside. I got all my chains on and shit. And so they all waved at me, and I really had to stop myself from just knocking on the glass and being like, "Hey!"
Oh shit, that would have been excellent. I want to go back and listen to it, and just—I mean, I definitely would have gone back and listened to it had you busted in there.
I just was like, "That's my guerrilla warfare."
Now Carl is very tight with Joe on that show.
Yeah, they hang out all the time. Yeah.
So, you know, so that's cool. All right. Excellent. All right. Now, the Ice Cold Comedy Jam is on Friday. It is a free event. City Bell Brewing Company in Grand Rapids. All the details and things are in the show notes about how to get there. But you go there, get an ice cold beer on Monroe Avenue right there. You can't miss it, right along the river. And
we do recommend getting there at 7 p.m. because we expect a very large turnout. And then we're going to want people to, since it's free general admission, so we're going to want people to get their drinks, get their seats and seated by the time the show starts.
All right, man. Hey, I appreciate the time. I love talking about what you do, and always good. So,
Shout out to Angelica Lee for drawing this backwards so it shows up the right way on camera.
I don't know if it is. It looks like it's not.
Does it say ice? What is it? Can you read it or no?
It's backwards.
Damn it. She drew the whole thing backwards.
June 17th. I think she should have written it normal, and it would have been perfect.
Yeah, I guess so. Well, in my screen, because I'm looking at my screen, it's the right way.
Maybe there's a setting I can do, but no, I don't see it. Oh, well, I guess you're shit out of luck. June 17th, Ice Cold Comedy Jam.
Yeah, it does say June 17th, High School Comedy Jam. So if you listen to the end of this episode, you got to actually know what this actually says.
All right. Break a leg and enjoy you, Mike. Thanks a bunch, buddy.
Always a pleasure, Eric.
All right, buddy. See ya. Take care. Okay, that was great. Yeah, man. I know you're going to have a good time. So well done, and I'll talk to you down the road.
All right. Thanks, man.
See ya.